trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. I've been singing those lyrics since I was a child, and in my more mature years, I've been trying to figure out how to live them, how to abide by them in the day-by-day journey of Christian faith. Trust and obey. To trust. To trust is have confidence in, to rely on, to depend on, to believe in. In God we trust. We put those words on our coins and on our currency. But that's not the real question today. Have we applied those words in our hearts and lives? All that is the question. Do they guide us in our spiritual lives? Is it the setting by which we live out our daily Christian lives? In God we trust. You see, God has set His people free. He's placed before us all the benefits and delights of belonging to His family. He's made available His love, His care, His provision. In generous measure, the question is on our side of the fence. Do we trust Him? I think one of the greatest statements in all the Scriptures can be found in the 18th verse of the Scriptures we've just read for you today. Jesus says, I will not leave you as an orphan. I will come to you. Abandonment is an awful feeling. Sometimes parents abandon their children. Sometimes husbands abandon their wives. Sometimes families desert each other in selfish strife. But Jesus says, I will never leave you as an orphan. Never, ever, ever leave you as an orphan. You are mine. You belong to me. Mine now, mine forever. And the question today, are you willing to trust that? Are you willing to trust Him with your life? You see, we don't need more insights, more knowledge, more understanding, more wisdom in order to be Christian. We've got all of that we need. The question is, do we trust Him? Do we need more trust? The Christian life, in a single word, might be trust. Do you trust Him with your past? Do you trust God's grace with your past? The reason I like the people called Methodists is that we're willing to pray about those things that we have done that we ought not to have done, and those things that we've left undone that we should have done, and those things that we ought to have done but didn't do. We understand that we don't have it all together. We don't understand that we don't get it right the first time, that we got to keep coming back and coming back again and again in our road to sanctification before we ever discover what it is to get it right. So do you trust God with your past? Do you trust God's grace with your past failures and faults and blunders? Or are you still trying to work it out on your own? Are you still seeking self-justification? Are you trying to do it for you? Let me give you a little word of advice today. It won't work. And somebody could decide about a weary past that's haunted you for years and years, you could decide this moment, this day, this hour, right in the middle of this worship service, to let it go, to trust God's grace with your past. Will you trust Him with your life? Will you trust Him now? Will you trust God with His present care? With the present circumstances of your days. Tuesdays with Maury is a moving account of visits between Maury Schwartz, who's dying of Lou Gehrig's disease, and a former student, Mitch Oblum, who flies from Detroit to Boston every Tuesday to meet with Maury. They have wonderful conversations together, and one day Mitch says to Maury, do you ever feel sorry for yourself? And Maury says, yes, sometimes. For a little bit of time in the morning, I give myself time to mourn the things that I've lost. I feel the parts of my body that won't work anymore due to my disease. And if I need to cry, I cry for a little while, but then I get over it. And I put it away. And I remember that I need to stop mourning, that I have too many good reasons to live. I'm going to see people today, and you're going to come every Tuesday to visit with me, and we're going to tell stories to one another, and we're going to relive life as we have shared it all of those days. Yes, I mourn for a little while, but I won't let my life be filled with self-pity. Do you trust God with your present circumstances? Do you trust God with today? Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Beneath His wings of love abide, God will take care of you through every day or all the way. God will take care of you. Do you trust God to take care of you? And what about your future? Do you trust God to provide the way for tomorrow? You don't know what tomorrow is going to hold. Neither do I. But do you trust God for His provisions tomorrow in your life? Do you trust God with your life? I've often read and pondered that story of Abraham climbing Mount Moriah with his son Isaac, his only son, thinking on a convoluted order that he is to offer his only son Isaac as a child sacrificed like other religions of the world around him at the day. And I've often tried to wonder the scene as Isaac trails along behind him, saying, Dad, where's the sacrifice? We have no sacrifice. We didn't bring any lambs along. Where's the sacrifice? And Abraham saying to him all along, God will provide. Oh, Isaac, God will provide. Do you trust God like that? God will provide. David says in one of the Psalms, when I'm most afraid, I put my trust in God. Job says, even though He slay me, yet I will trust in God. Let us live in the sure and certain confidence that as we push toward our tomorrow, that God is already there, going ahead of us to prepare the way. There's never a burden that He will not carry, never a sorrow that He will not share. The good news about tomorrow is that God is already in our tomorrows. And we will meet Him face to face when we get there. And that will be enough. That will be enough. Trust. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. To obey is to follow, to devote, to love, to serve, to sacrifice. To obey is to keep His commandments, to do His will, to align your life according to the principles of God. That's what it means to obey. A leader one day asked Jesus, what about all the commandments? There are too many of them. Moses got them down to 10. But he says, that's more than I can keep up with. And Jesus gives a very simple but profound response. Here's the commandment. Here it is. All wrapped up in a nutshell. You ought never ever to forget it. You don't need to forget it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And love your neighbor as yourself. That's what it's all about. Get that, and you got it. Love God. That's what it means to obey. It means to love God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says it all over this passage, verse 15, if you love me, you will obey what I command. Whoever has my commandments and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. If anybody loves me, he will obey my teachings. You see, love and obedience are placed together in the New Testament. We separate them. We think obedience is an obligation, a law, something we've got to keep up to, something that is demanding upon us, something that we've got to make a grade that we can't make on our own. That's not what obedience is all about. It's grounded in love. It's grounded in love. And we obey because we love. That is what it's all about. We obey because we love. The human problem is simple. We think we're God. That's our problem. The real problem of human existence is to let God be God. It's been going on since Adam and Eve. We're not willing to let God be God. And that is our problem. We want to put ourselves in that position, take care of our own matters, thrill in our own accomplishments. Denzel Washington tells a story about coming home one day and saying to his mother, "Did you ever think it would happen? That I would be such a great movie star, that all the world would know my name, that I would be known around the world as a wonderful movie star?" And Denzel said, "My mother looked me in the eye and said, 'Oh, please go out and wash the windows for me, will you?'" You have no idea how many people were praying for you when you were a knucklehead. You don't have any reason to be proud now. Remember, God made you who you are. C.S. Lewis says in one of his works, "When I learn to love God better than my earthly dearest, I shall love my earthly dearest better than I do now." I want you to get this. Can I say it again? When I learn to love God better than my earthly dearest, I shall love my earthly dearest better than I do now. You see, we set love up in a competitive sort of format. We assume that if we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, well, who's going to take care of the family, you know? Or who's going to pay attention to my spouse? Or who's going to go to work every day? If I love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, what about all these other concerns? And the truth is, if we get our priorities right, if we get God in the right place, not only will the other things be taken care of, but they'll be taken care of in a better way than we've ever imagined them before. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. And I ask you today, what part of all don't you understand? Trust and obey. Trust and obey. The second commandment is like the first one. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. I kept thinking this week, how can I present this in a way that would be interesting and new to people? So I started asking myself a question. What is it that you need? What is it that other people have to give you in order for you to be fulfilled as a human being? Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Isn't that what it says? Somehow. Well, I came up with two or three things. You could probably add different things. I have a need to love and to be loved. To be treated with respect and dignity as a human being. The civil rights movement of the 1960s, including the freedom riders from the city, reminded us of this basic human right for all human beings. To be treated with dignity and respect. We need that from other people. We want it for ourselves. But other people need it too. I want a chance. An opportunity. I want to be judged not by the color of my skin or the nature of my sexuality, nor by the part of the country from which I was born. I want to be judged by the productivity of my efforts and the content of my character and my willingness to apply myself to the common good. I want to be judged by those factors in life. I want the freedom to pursue my hopes and dreams with the grace of God to try again. I don't want people to judge me by how many times I fail. I want people to judge me by how many times I get up and come back and try to do it again right the next week. That's what I want to be judged by. I want somebody in my corner when I'm hurting. When the nights are long, and the pain is deep, I don't want to be alone. Somebody to walk through the troubled waters. somebody to share the woes of the day. And here's the truth. If I need that, if I need to love and be loved, to be respected, treated with dignity, not judged by my actions, but judged by my will, to be loved, to be helped in time of need, isn't that what everybody else needs too? You know? Isn't that what everybody else needs too? Jimmy Carter, in his book, Sources of Strength, tells about interviewing Eloy Cruz, a Cuban pastor who's unusually effective with immigrants. And Jimmy said, I asked him, why? What's your success? Why are you so good at what you do? And Reverend Cruz said, oh, Senor Jimmy, we have only two things to do in our lives. One is to love God. And the other is to love the person who's right in front of you at that moment. That's what it's all about. We have only two responsibilities in our lives. To love God and to love the person who is in front of us at that particular moment in time. Trust and obey. Trust. And obey. The song got written because a young man stood up at an evangelistic crusade almost 100 years ago. After everybody had been giving glowing testimonies about their wonderful conversions and their sanctifications and how the Lord had moved in miraculous ways in their lives. After it had gone on for a while, there was one young man in that testimony meeting. He got up and said, I don't understand all this stuff. I'm not sure I can explain any of it. I can't grasp it. It's more than I know. So I just want to say, I'm just going to trust and I'm going to obey. And I hope that's enough. If I trust and if I obey. A songwriter went home that night and wrote Trust and Obey, which we sang a few minutes ago today. And I tell you that story to tell you this. You may be here for thousands of times or for the first time you've ever entered this sanctuary. And it all may make sense to you and you understand the depths of Christian theology and all the ramifications of Christian ethics. Or all of it may seem confusing. Too much. A riddle. It's hard to keep true, hard to know. I want to tell you something. I want to tell you a truth. And here it is. If you will trust as much of yourself as you understand, to as much of God as you comprehend, it will be enough. If you will trust as much of yourself as you understand, through as much of God as you comprehend, all my friends, that will be enough.